In a few minutes, we're going to look in John 3, but I want you to turn with me to Psalm 25. I'd like to just read this chapter, Psalm 25. This was a real blessing to me. I just read it just a few days ago. Psalm 25. Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. You know, it's the easiest thing in the world to lift up, you know, our voice, lift up our hands, lift up our eyes. But the psalmist says, unto thee do I lift up my soul. You know that takes the grace of God. I mean to truly desire to want to commune with Him. A believer, as Brother Neil just said, just struggles so. I mean, he wants to talk with the Lord. He wants to be honorable when he says something. He wants to pray. He reads in the Word when the Lord Jesus Christ says, and when thou prayest, enter into your closet. Get somewhere by yourself. And a believer wants to do that. And then he tells the Lord, he's just honest with him. He says, Lord, I'm just struggling. And I want to talk with you. I want to commune with you. Lord, help me. Oh, there's nothing like just being honest with God. Just don't try to hide anything. You're not hiding anything. The religionist is so proud of his formality. Well, I pray. And there's times that I try to pray, try to talk to the Lord, and then afterwards I'm just depressed. You ever feel like that? Oh, my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Let none that wait on Thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me Thy ways. O Lord, teach me Thy paths. Lead me in Thy truth and teach me. For Thou art the God of my salvation. On Thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, Thy tender mercies and Thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions, according to Thy mercy. Remember Thou me for Thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will He teach sinners in the way. The meek will He guide in judgment, and the meek will He teach His way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep His covenant and His testimonies. For Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it's great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn Thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring Thou me out of my distresses. Look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. Redeem Israel, O God, out of all his troubles. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank You that we have this time to be able to call on You. Lord, help us. We are weak and frail creatures. Lord, we realize something of our frailty. And we realize the desperate need of being taught. Lord, we're ignorant people. We see through a glass darkly, but thanks be unto You, we do see. Eyes to see, ears to hear, a heart to believe. Lord, I pray that You'd help us. Thank You for the word that we've heard. Thank You for the encouragement. Thank You for teaching us afresh of our comfort and security in the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless, we pray, the word for Christ's sake and for our good. Amen. Let's take our Bibles now and turn to John chapter 3. John chapter 3. I'd like to look at just a few verses, 19-21. You know from our study last week, we looked at verse 18, He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Scripturally speaking, the elect of God, and God has an elect, have never been under the condemnation of God. Never. To have been under the condemnation of God, I'll remind you, and while I remind myself, to have been under God's condemnation and then to go from being under His condemnation and wrath to not being under His condemnation and wrath would be for God to change in attitude. God doesn't change. 1 Thessalonians 5:9 says, "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, God's people, the sheep, the church, the elect were not chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ to be destroyed under the wrath of God, but that they should be saved from the wrath of God by the substitutionary death of the Lord Jesus Christ. His death, physically, humanly speaking, took place in time, but not in God's sight. The Lamb was slain from before the foundation of the world. So Almighty God, who has decreed all things, He said, "My counsel is going to stand." Almighty God has always seen His elect in Christ. He's always seen them in the Beloved. He's always loved them. He's always accepted them in Christ. But what's the evidence? Now you say this is something that God Almighty has always decreed, that He has said that this is what it is beforehand. You say, well, how could God say something? Read the Scriptures. What has God Almighty said is going to happen in the last day? God's always decreed. He's always set forth that which He shall do. Do you believe that there's going to be a resurrection of all men? Yeah, God said there's going to be. Do you believe that God Almighty can decree all things from before the foundation of the world? He said He did. But what is the evidence? How do we know? What kind of indication do we have that God Almighty has always looked upon one in kindness, loving mercy, gentleness, compassion? How can we tell something in time that God Almighty has always decreed? How? Here's how it is. A man believes God. In time, he believes God. In time, the Spirit of God, in regenerating power, the Scripture uses this terminology, He shall reprove. That means correct. He's going to correct a man. He corrects a man concerning sin. That is, that He shows him, first of all, that he is a sinner. Man by nature. You know why man by nature does not cast himself upon the mercy of God? Left to himself, just leave a man alone. You know why he doesn't? He doesn't believe he's a sinner. He doesn't believe he's a rebel against God. I don't. He will reprove man of sin. He will reprove that man of righteousness, teaching him that man by nature doesn't have one that is accepted of God. He's got one. He's got a righteousness. But the Scripture says it's nothing but self-righteous rags, filthy rags, self-righteousness. But a righteousness that God's going to accept, there's only one. There's only one righteousness that Almighty God is accepting. It's the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He will reprove that man of judgment. That is to say that there is no judgment. There is no condemnation to them that be in Christ Jesus. So faith in Christ, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that is the evidence that Almighty God has eternally been pleased to show mercy. How do you know a man believes God? That's it. He believes God. He believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. He that believeth, that's what we looked at. He that believeth, last week, is not condemned. He that believeth evidences that he's never been condemned. Remember, there may be a change wrought within a man. He goes from darkness to light, death to life. But there's no change in God. Anytime, boy, I'll tell you this. Man, I tried to, every time Brother Scott would tell me something, he'd say something like this. He'd say, I've got something for you. And I'm telling you, man, I'm going to listen to this. He told me, he said, whenever you prepare, you lay down the immutability of God. God never changes. And you build everything that you're going to preach on that. And he said, you won't go wrong. I thought, man, I'm going to write that down. I want to remember that. He that believeth is not condemned. He evidenced it. But he that believeth not is condemned already. I got to thinking about that a minute ago. And I thought, when I was growing up, I came up, Roman Catholic for a while, and then jumped out of that frying pan into another frying pan. That was something else. And I thought, there was years I sat and listened to men preach a little G God who is no God. Trying to do something, trying to get people to do something. And had a bunch of buddies. I mean, you know, we'd hang around. You'd just, you know, we'd all sit in church, you know, and try to hide. And none of us believed anything. We were sitting under a false gospel. There's no salvation under a false gospel. If there's salvation under a false gospel, then let's just take out that scripture that Brother Neil just read. Romans 1, verses 16 and 17. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of God, for it is the power of God unto salvation, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. Therein. So I'm sitting under this false gospel. And I got, you know, my friends and cousins and this, that, and the other. And none of us believe anything. In time, Almighty God calls this simple, wretched sinner out of darkness and reveals to him the unsearchable riches in the Lord Jesus Christ, and teaches him Christ, shows him what he is by nature, shows him that I didn't have any righteousness. I walked down the aisle. I bet you, I know I walked down the aisle twice. I might have, maybe three times. And so what? But my thought process was this. Here I am sitting under the false gospel, lost, dead to God, dead, don't know God, don't love God, don't even know who He is, like Paul. Saul, why persecutest thou me? Who are you? I don't know who you are. And then God's pleased to call one out of darkness and leaves another one to himself. Time revealed that God Almighty had purposed before the foundation of the world to show mercy. And there was one that was not under his condemnation, and one died in unbelief and was. You say, well, how can that be? God says it is. How do you know the difference? Almighty God is going to, in time, call His people out of darkness and reveal, I've always loved you. I've always loved you. You were not appointed unto wrath. That's what He said. That's what Paul said. God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you know? He won't leave you to yourself. But is God unjust if He lets a man do what he wants to do? God's not unjust. He said, I'm a just God. A man that dies in unbelief proves the fact that God was just in condemning him, and man's unbelief does not slip up on God. Look at the last few verses of chapter 2 of John. Now, when he was in Jerusalem at the Passover and the feast day, many believed in his name. Listen to this. When they saw the miracles which he did. But Jesus did not commit himself. See the word commit? Same word as believed. Many of them believe. That's a miracle worker. Nicodemus said, you must be come from God. Nobody could do the miracles that you do. You've got to be a prophet. Many of them believed when they saw the miracles, and the Lord didn't believe them. He didn't believe them. Why? Because He knew all men and needed not that any should testify of man, for He knew what was in man. The foreknowledge of God concerning man's unbelief. Listen well. I thought on this for a long time before I wrote this down. The foreknowledge of God concerning man's belief. I read it wrong a moment ago. Foreknowledge of God concerning a man's belief in Christ. salvation according to His mercy to grant repentance in faith never gives a man any glory in that salvation. If any man believes, it's not because that man's going to receive any glory for that. Almighty God gave him, granted him faith to believe. It's given unto you to believe. Now, this is the mercy of God. Now, here's a bunch of rebels running around, hating God, despising God, dead in trespasses and sins. I will not have that man to rule over me. I will not come to you. And Almighty God reached down in power and regenerating grace by His Holy Spirit and says, I said no. No. Gives a man a new heart. And here's a man that absolutely, willingly, thy people shall be willing. Do you know why a man comes to Christ? Because he wants to. He wants to. I want to trust Him. I want to lift my heart before Him. I want to lift my soul before Him. Why do I do now what I didn't do before? I'm born again. A new man. A different creature. Imparted. And I'm right in there with the old man that I was before. There's not one thing that's been changed in this old man. The difference is a new man has been put there. There's a new man there. And here's a brand new man that's doing just exactly what he wants to do. God's people are not robots. Did I rebel against Him because I wanted to? You got it, buddy. And I'm going to tell you something. That old nature's still there. I still struggle with that. You do too, you that know Him. But oh, there's a new man there. And that new man wars against that old man, that spirit and the flesh, and they strive one against the other. If a man believes God, it's because God Almighty absolutely said, I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. For God so loved the order of man, the arrangement. He was not going to let mankind be obliterated under His wrath and justice. God Almighty had to come in flesh and obey Himself, His law. In perfect obedience, God Almighty lifted up the Son of Man, just as that serpent was lifted up in the wilderness. Listen, there's nothing that a man's going to glory in save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Lord, here I am. You're worthy to receive all the honor and the glory and the praise. Lord, You stopped me. You stopped me. When I was just, I hated You. That's Scripture. God's man born in trespasses and sin, haters of God. We were all just like them, you know, children of wrath, even as others. Not under the wrath, but that means that we were wrathful toward Him, children of wrath. But on the other hand, God's foreknowledge to appoint a man to condemnation because that man will not come to Christ. You're not going to lay that fault of man's rebellion and unbelief at the feet of God Almighty. Men are responsible for their unbelief. Here's the way it is. The Scripture sets forth that God Almighty looked to see if there were any that were good, that any did seek Him, and there were none. There were none. And what's happened? God Almighty, because it pleased Him to do so, chose. Read it. It's in Revelation 5:4-5. It's, I can go back. See, I can turn to my, I know where it is on the page. I think. Revelation chapter 5, they sung a new song, verse 9, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book, to open the seals thereof. Thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations. Lord, here's what happened. God Almighty took some. He chose some. Out of every kindred, every family, God's going to have representatives of all the kindreds and families and tongues and tribes. Everybody's family is going to be represented. God's going to save some of them. And they're going to reign with Christ. They'll be seated with Him. But if God Almighty leaves a man alone. So when it comes to condemnation, the act of God to distinguish and to judge a man's actions. What's the basis? What's the basis of that condemnation? I can tell you what it is. Verse 19. This is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. I'll tell you what I'm going to do for the sake of time. I won't wear you out. I'm going to look at this verse 19. I was going to do verse 19, 20, and 21. But let's look at verse 19, and then, Lord willing, we'll pick up with the other two next time. This is the condemnation. This is the basis of God's condemnation. This is what God bases condemnation on. Light is come into the world, and men loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Light Himself, the Lord Jesus Christ says in John 8:12, Then spake Jesus unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but hath the light of life. Light is coming to the world. But I'll tell you another thing that is set forth concerning light is coming to the world. It's talking about the gospel. Listen to this, 2 Corinthians 4, verses 3 and 4. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. My dear friend, if you believe Him this morning, if God Almighty has given you a heart to love Him. I'm talking about as He is set forth in the report. Let me tell you who I'm not talking about. I'm not talking about this Jesus that people set forth that's trying to. I'm not talking about Jesus that died on the cross for everybody, because the Christ of this Bible did not die. I'm not talking about God who's trying to save somebody if they'll let Him. That's not the God of this Bible. The God of this Bible is God Almighty, sovereign, sovereign, sovereign God. And He does as He will. This is the condemnation, that light, the light of Christ, the light of His gospel that sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ, is coming to the world, and men loved darkness because their deeds were evil. They love the darkness of their sin and ignorance and rebellion against God. So we say, Would you come and sit and just sit and listen? I had somebody come up to me the other day, and he was sitting around, caught me back in the fellowship hall, and walked up. And I mentioned this to you. One that came up to me last week and said, "I've always loved God. I've loved Him since I was, you know." And he said, "I just heard that Calvinism was preached here." I said, "Well, we preach Christ here." I said, "I understand what you're saying." So anyway, but he said, "Well, I've just always been interested in learning more about, you know, different religions and stuff like this." And I told him, I said, "Well, I said, listen, here's what I'd recommend. I said, I'd recommend you just come sit. Just come sit." And I said, "Really, it would probably be best if you told me, you know, well, I'd like to join." I said, "Won't you just wait? Won't you just wait? I'm not trying to fill up any roles. I don't want to see how many, you know, how many can we add up, you know, Freddie, if we can get some more roles, you know, get our roles enlarged. No, won't you just come sit and just listen? Who knows? God might be pleased to do something. God Almighty might be pleased to call a man out of darkness. But if you told me you wanted to join, I'd say, not now. Let's just hold off. Let's just come and sit. A man that's concerned with the glory of God is more concerned with God's glory than your name on a roll. He's interested in Almighty God doing what God's pleased to do. Men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. They love their religious superstition and they're not going to part with it. Well, I've always been taught, well, let's just see what God has to say. Let's see what the Word of God's got to say. To come to Christ, that means you're going to have to forsake everything that you formerly held to. You're going to have to give it up. Am I going to have to forsake my former profession? Let me say it like this. If Almighty God ever gives a man a new heart, He will. He will. He'll say, just like Paul the Apostle, "Oh, I was circumcised the eighth day of the tribe. I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, Pharisee." Dung. "All those that I counted gain, lost. For the excellency of the knowledge of Christ." Men are inexcusable for not believing the gospel and coming to the light of Christ. They're inexcusable. Romans 1 states that. They're inexcusable. Light is coming to the world. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. They love their own dark ways. Proud of them, proud in them. Love darkness. And if God Almighty leaves a man to do what he wants to do, that's what he'll have. He'll be cast into outer darkness. Lost souls will have just what they want. Lost. Darkness. You know, the habits of an unregenerate's life may not be immoral. Their habits may not be immoral. But the last day was going to prove whether or not God Almighty allowed them to do what they wanted to do. And He declares them to be evil. If a man does not love the light of Christ as He set forth in this gospel, if he doesn't love, bow to, cleave to, come to, however you want to say it, if he does not, his deeds are evil. Evil. God's people proven or revealed by coming to Christ, prove that Almighty God has had mercy upon them. In this day of great, great darkness, unbelief, it's amazing when we consider God Almighty has mercy on any. We're all dug out of the same pit. Somebody say, well, you think that you're better. No. No, if you talk to a believer, I tell you that every believer that I know struggles. Every one of them. I mean, there are soldiers. This is a warfare. This is a sojourning. This is a wilderness. It's not their home, and they do have an expected end. They believe God. They die daily. They realize that this life is but a vapor. They're dead to sin. Sin doesn't have power over them, though it's present with them. They look to Him. Thank Him. Bless Him for His mercy and grace, and they have no confidence whatsoever in their flesh. Oh, may the Lord be pleased. Show mercy today, encouraging His people, comforting His people, and calling His elect out of darkness for Christ's sake. Amen. All right, Gary.